I have started to walk in the light, shining upon me from heaven so bright. I bear the world and its follies are true. I started in Jesus and I'm going, hallelujah, I'm going through, I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take the way with the Lord's despise you. I'm going through, Jesus, I'm going through. Oh, there are many who started in the rest, but with the light refuse to keep pace. Others accept it because it is new, but not very many expect to go. Hallelujah, I'm going through, I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take the way with the Lord. I'm going through, oh Jesus, I'm going through. I'd rather walk with Jesus alone, and for a pillow like Jacob a stone, giving each moment with his face in view. I'm free from my pathway and failed to come. Hallelujah, I'm going through, I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take the way with the Lord's despise you. I'm going through, oh Jesus, I'm going through. Oh brother, now will you take up the cross, give up the world and count it as dross? Sell all thou hast and give to the poor, then go with Jesus and die. Hallelujah, I'm going through, oh yes, I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take the way with the Lord's despise you. I'm going through, oh Jesus, I'm going through.
Amen.
Surely and we know his time. Holy Mount, he is there. Let's sing it from our hearts this morning. Surely around it, his throne comes down. Surely around it, and we know his time. Holy God, he is there. So Lord, surely, surely around it, his throne comes down. Surely around it, door to heaven is mine. we know we stand next. Oh, how he is, he's all around. We are here to praise you. Lift our hands and sing. We are here to give you the best that we can, oh, the best that we can bring, bringing you our life, rising from our everything within us cries, I love you, Lord. We are here to praise you, Lord. Lift our hands and we lift our hands and sing to you, Lord. We are here to give to you, Lord, the best that we can. Oh, bringing you our lives, rising from our hearts, everything within us cries, I love you. We're bringing you our love, bringing you our love, rising from our hearts, everything within us cries, I love you. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, O Lord. Only you are worthy this morning. You are worthy every day to be praised. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, oh, only you are worthy this morning, Lord. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, oh, we give you glory, we give you, oh, this morning, Lord, to be praised. We give you all the glory. We worship you, Lord. Only you are worthy this morning, Lord. We give you glory, we give you all the Alpha and Omega. We worship you, Lord. Oh, we worship you this morning, Lord. You are Alpha, you are, oh, and Omega. Omega, we worship you, oh, we give you all the glory. We worship you.
Father, how wonderful it is to come before you upon this day. Father, just to come into your presence, Lord, where everything is under control. Father, just to lay aside, Father, the dimension of this world. And Father, by faith, to rise up to that place that you may worship you. That place that you may have communion with you, Lord, upon this day. Father, we just want to surrender ourselves unto thee upon this day, right from the front of the church to the back. Father, just to come to lay ourselves upon the altar once again. Father, we just want to worship you. Lord, we just want to offer something that is good and right and acceptable before you, Lord. And Father, we so desire, Lord, upon this day to sit at your feet. We so desire that you would minister to us. That, Father, you would just cast your skirt over us upon this day. And Father, just hide us away in that secret place would be our desire. And every need that we have upon this day, Father, just to come and casting all of our cares upon you because you care for us. For Brother Dube, for his sister, Lord, I pray for even now, Lord. And Father, this spirit that would be afflicting her, Lord, we just bring it up unto thee, Lord. Father, we're just asking of thee now, Father, that you'll just cast out the evil one in Jesus' name. That, Father, your grace, that your mercy, that your presence, that your unction, even at this time now, will just visit that situation, Lord. Father, that you'll just reveal your arm once again upon this day. And be glorified, we ask. And Father, every other petition that we have as your people, we bring them before thee upon this day. And Father, as you would open up your word, won't you break unto us, Lord, the bread of life. Lord, won't it become, Father, won't you allow it to become to us hidden manna upon this day. But Father, allowing us to partake in that secret place is our desire. Bless your people. Bless your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, it's wonderful to be, brother. Oh. It's okay, bro. Fine, bro. Let's open 1 John. Saints, we do greet you in Jesus' name. It's really good to come into his house today. 1 John chapter 4. Let's read verse 18. We'll take our thought from there. 1 John 4, verse 18. We'll just take this attribute here of divine love. 1 John 4:18, there's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So perfect love casts out fear. Let's also read Isaiah 35. Now it's so wonderful. The Lord anointed Isaiah, spoke to him and said, go and speak to my people. And he was speaking to a particular segment of the people of God in Isaiah 35 verse 4. And this is what the Lord told him to say to the children of God. Say to them that are of a fearful heart. So there was a specific group of people. They were believers, they were in the promised land, but they were of a fearful heart. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. Amen. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. If we just take from Isaiah 35, we'll take it a word which you find a phrase in the Bible so many times. You just take the thought of fear not. You know, it's amazing how many times that word is spoken, especially from the mouth of the Lord to his people, is to say fear not. So John tells us that perfect love casts out fear. And in Isaiah, he's sent to them that are of a fearful heart. So God sends his word to address the situation which they have, is that they have a fearful heart. And he says to them, fear not. Now, the prophet says in Israel and the church, this is 1953, he says, now, this has been the greatest thing that I found among Christian people throughout the entire world, has been a fear. They're always afraid. When a little sickness strikes, they're afraid. I wonder sometimes. Now, I'm along with you, the prophet said. And now what I'm trying to do tonight and in this week to come is to try to drive that fear away by God's word. And imagine the prophet dealing with so many people amidst the sons and daughters of God. And he says the greatest thing that he found was fear. Now that's not something that we like to admit, friends. But every single one of us are subject to this. Because fear is a result of the fall. Now once Adam and Eve listened to the devil, once they transgressed and they broke off the perfect fellowship they had with the Lord, the perfect faith which they had, the perfect love which they had. What does it say in the Bible? In Genesis 3, it says, when the Lord came down in verse 9, and he cried out and said, Adam, Adam, where art thou? In Genesis 3, verse 10, Adam answered back and he says, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. So the moment the fall came in and man fell from his original estate before the Lord, he was subject to fear. And Adam straight away became fearful. And that was a great mistake that he made, because what he really should have done, Adam, instead of hiding away with his fear in the garden, he should have brought that fear into the presence of God and allowed the Lord to minister to that fear. Because God had the answer to his fear. He was fearing because he was naked. He was fearing because he knew now that he was falling short of the glory of God. But if he had just come, he would have found God had an atonement. God had the remedy to that situation that he was fearing. And if he could have just brought himself into the presence of God. And another thing we learn straight away from there is God wants to help his people with their fear. When Adam was away from God and he was in his fear, the word of the Lord came to him to come to address the need that he had. Now the Lord came. I really love that about the Lord, is that he doesn't give up on you. You find people when they fall, when they fail, when people disbelieve, when you fall short of expectation. Now we can give up on ourselves many times, but the Lord is long-suffering. Now that's his nature. And you'll find he really comes time after time after time in the Bible to minister to the fears of his people. So this is something that's inherent in our fallen nature. You know, once we get out of fellowship with the Lord, we don't have a reality of real good fellowship with him, we can be very much subject to fear. And some people have a more fearful temperament than other people. Now some people, like we said on Friday, their problem isn't so much fear in a sense, although all people do have that particular problem, but others is anger. You know, temper is you find the human race is divided into some who are subject to fear, others that are subject to anger. These are just the weaknesses we find in ourselves. You know, and God, he wants to address both of these things because he has the answer to whatever it is that we're going through. In the message, God testifying of his gifts, the prophet says, so don't fear. Fear is of the devil. And it's good to recognize that straight away, that fear is of the devil. Whenever you've got fear or something's trying to make you fearful, it's the devil. You've got to recognize it as your enemy. That fear is of the devil. He says everything, every time Jesus would say, fear not. Fear not constantly. Why would Jesus have to say those things constantly if the sons and daughters of God trying to stand in the promises of God, Satan wouldn't play upon their fears? And Jesus would come every time and he'd say to them, fear not. And if you just go and search in your Bible for that phrase, fear not, it's a very virtuous study to trace through the Bible all the times that God said, fear not. We'll just take a few of them today, but so many times God speaks, fear not. And it's the grace of God. Because God can see there's a fear that the devil's trying to hold you back from the fullness of what God has for you. And one of the greatest ways the devil wants to come and he wants to play on your fears. He wants to make you feel you're not worthy. He wants to make you feel you don't have enough faith. Whatever it is, but that's one of the tactics that he uses all the time. And that's why the Lord so many times in the Bible would say, fear not. Amen. The prophet says, now, God doesn't want you to fear. Amen. He wants you to believe. Hallelujah. And that's the great struggle that goes on. Because faith and fear cannot coexist. And that's how perfect love comes to cast out fear. Fear is of the devil. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, Paul makes it very clear. If you can put it first there, please, Paul. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. He really makes it clear. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So when we're in fellowship with him, we don't have a spirit of fear. But Satan wants to put the spirit of fear if he can. So the Bible is showing us many times it's a spirit of fear. You know, it really is an essence. There's a shadow, there's a darkness that desires to follow and, you know, to anoint and to whisper and to speak and to lie and to say all manner of things against God and his word and his promises and to say all manner of things against you and against me, you know, concerning our walk with God. But it's not God who gives us the spirit of fear. God gives us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, the Bible says. In the message testimony, the prophet says, Jesus always said, fear not. Do not fear. Don't fear. Don't do that. If you do, then God can't work with you. It's very, very difficult for God to work when you've got fear. You need faith. But God understands when you're in fear. That's why He comes to you when the fear wants to come in, and He'll come and say to you, fear not. Amen. His word comes to drive away that fear so that He can continue to work with you, because that's His desire. The prophet says, if you do believe, then God can work with you. Amen. Have faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. So there's these different aspects of fear that each of us have to face. Up to Romans chapter 8, Paul tells us once again, Romans 8 verse 15, he says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba Father. So God wants us to be in that realm where He's real to us as our Father. That we cry, Abba Father, to Him in the midst of our crises, in the midst of the things that we have to go through. But Satan's going to try to come in and take advantage of the fallen aspect of man. He's going to try to come and bring fear in there, to bring us back into bondage, because fear puts us in bondage. But we haven't received that spirit. Christ never died on the cross so that we should be subject to the spirit of fear, to the spirit of bondage. But Christ came to set us free from such. And the prophet even says it many times, the first words after the resurrection were, fear not. You know, and so many times, fear not, I have overcome the world. And all the different things that Jesus speaks about. So it's the word that addresses that situation to us. The prophet is in the prayer line here in the message, True Vine. And he says, I see the woman standing near. She's got a real dismal, funny spirit. Hey, she was a Christian, but she had a dismal, funny spirit, the prophet says. It's a spirit of worry, fearful. She's all nervous and upset, and she's bothered a lot with a nervous condition. You see how Satan comes to try to, he examines us, and he tries to find that weak point, that element inside of us that he can come and try to anoint and play upon that aspect. Like I say, if it's anger, you know, he knows how to get Moses to cast down the stones. You know, he knows how to get him to, you rebels, and so forth. You know, that was a problem that he had. But with many, many people, it's the issue of fear. And the prophet could discern that in the prayer line, and he could see there's a gloomy kind of a spirit trying to follow you. And it's good to recognize that it's the enemy, that it's a spirit of fear, that something that comes to anoint you with unbelief, to hold you back from the promises of God, it doesn't come from God. It's your enemy, no matter how much it wants to dress itself up. But God's grace to His people, His grace will always override our fears. Now, there's something about that. I really love that so much. In the story in Matthew chapter 8, verse 23, when He tells His disciples to get into the boat and to cross the sea, and they get into the stormy sea. You know, the prophet says that 10,000 devils of the sea got into the winds, and they said, we're going to drown Him now. And the prophet says it was like a little cork, a little... Thanks, bro. It was... The toilets are blocked, so please, saints, if you wouldn't mind just holding it in for a couple of... an hour or two. The toilets are blocked, so please be careful with the toilets. So when they got into this boat, Matthew chapter 8, 23, it says, when He was entered into a ship, His disciples followed Him. So they were following Him. They were following the word. They were walking in obedience to the commission. They wanted to stay close to the Lord. The Lord told them, let's go in the boat, let's go to the other side. So these disciples were right in the line of duty. And that is the key. God will always minister to you in the line of duty. You know, and then the next verse is verse 24, Matthew 8, brother, if you can put it for us, 24. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. So there came conditions that naturally bring up fear. I mean, if you and I were going to be in a little fishing boat in a tempest on the Sea of Galilee, the natural reaction is fear is going to come up. You're going to look at the circumstances. You're going to look at the situation. It's natural for you to fear. And it says, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but He was asleep. And His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Now, they were honest about the situation. They said, Lord, we're scared. We don't like what's going on here. We need You to help us here. We're going to perish. And now look what He did. Verse 26. And He saith unto them, So before he spoke to their circumstances, he first needed to deal with the problem in them. He first had to deal with their fear, their unbelief, and then he would go and sort out the rest of the things. And it says, and he saith unto them, why are you fearful? Imagine the boat's about to sink and the Lord's coming and saying to them, why are you scared? But it was a very good question. You know, you meditate on that question a little bit. He asked them that question. Why are you fearful? You. Jesus was near. They were in the boat with Jesus. No, he was there, though he was sleeping at that time, but Jesus wasn't far away. They were in their commission, they were in the line of duty, they were walking in obedience to his word. It's obvious the devil's going to rise up. We can't expect the devil not to do his job. But Jesus was asking them a question, not to say, look, if other people out there in other boats are in the storm, you can understand them being fearful. He says, but why are you fearful? You know, I'm in the boat with you. I called you. I commissioned you. I have a purpose for you. I haven't finished with you yet. I don't start to work and then it just finishes up in the midst of the sea like us and we all go to the bottom of the sea. That's not the way that God works. And if they could have just got themselves in that spirit of faith, or if they could have just considered to say, but no, let's consider what the Lord has done for us. No, has he ever let us down before? We've been in crises before. There were times there was no food. There was times there was different problems that you had. And every single time, he ministered to our needs in the midst of that situation. So although we don't like the situation, but he's with us. Amen. And that's why he was asking them, why are you so fearful? I can understand other people being fearful. But there shouldn't be very much cause for you to be fearful here. Because I'm with you. You've seen the things that I've done. You know that I called you. You know I've changed your lives. You know the various things I've empowered you to do. You've seen me working through you. You've seen the things which I can do. You know, when I thought of it, you know, there's a little phrase that sometimes, if you think about it, like to join the dots. You know that game, join the dots, the puzzle for children. We have to join the dots and make a picture. Sometimes it's not that easy for us to join the dots. Sometimes the Lord will do a lot of things for us over here and a lot of things for us over here. But it's difficult for us to be able to take what He's done there and apply it to our current situation now. No, to join all the dots together to say, but no, if He's done this for me, if He's been so faithful to me all through the years, if He called me, He commissioned me, He cleansed me, He sanctified me, He filled me with His Spirit, He filled me with His goodness. He's delivered me so many times before. Let me just keep joining the dots. Because the picture's not yet complete. But these disciples couldn't join the dots. What the Lord had done for them before and what they'd seen Him doing in other people before, it was difficult for them at this time for them to join those dots and bring those things into their present situation. And Jesus, he had to address that issue. And he said, why are you so fearful? That's the first thing he asked them. And he says, oh, you of little faith. Then he arose. He didn't just leave them to sink. He didn't just say, you guys, you don't have enough faith. I'm turning my back on you. I'm going to go and find some other disciples that have more faith. No, that's not the way that God works. He doesn't just, if you fall, if you fail, He encourages you, picks you up, tells you, dust yourself off again, let's keep going forward. Next time you'll be better equipped. And that's why He never gave up on these disciples. You know, but sometimes when we fear, when we feel, but hey Lord, I failed you there. No, we feel the Lord's going to give up on us. Love never fails. We saw it on Friday. Charity never fails. God's love never fails. It never runs out. It never gets exhausted. God's patience with His elect never runs to an end. Because God is patient, God is kind, God suffers long. Those are the attributes of God. And God had called these disciples. He wasn't going to call them, train them all the training that He had given them, and then when they were struck with fear in a situation here which they felt was too much for them to handle, they didn't handle the situation the right way, He wasn't going to give up on them then. But first He spoke His word to them. And the word came now to correct the fear. And says, you don't need this fear. As long as I'm with you. And I said, I'll be with you even in you to the end of the age. That's what He promised. And friends, if you and I look back as believers at the faithfulness of the Lord, at His goodness in days and times gone by, No, you sometimes get embarrassed. But how could I have feared now? After all that is done, how faithful that he's been. But he understands, friends. It's part of this fallen flesh, this nature. The prophet says the soul wants to believe, but the flesh gets scared. You see, the flesh can't believe. It's a mammal. You know, it just has its natural instincts. When things rise up, fear wants to come. Panic wants to come. You know, fear, what do they call it? Fight or flight. Now you want to get out of that situation as quickly as you can. But the soul, the redeemed man, he wants to believe. And that's what Jesus speaks to. Jesus speaks to the soul. He was speaking to the souls of the disciples to say, why are you fearful? Oh, you of little faith. Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So once he drove the fear out, he could now speak to their circumstances. He could now address the need that they had. But I just wonder, which was the biggest mission for him? To calm the storm in the disciples, or to calm the storm in the tempest that the boat was in? I think it was far easier for him to speak to the storm. You know, rather than to speak to the inner man. You know, that's the work that he really, really is trying to do, the work of redemption. To get his sons and his daughters to believe in him. So whenever you're trying to walk in the promises of God, you're trying to walk with the Lord, there's going to come these situations that rise up. You know, the next situation the prophet speaks of so many times when Jesus said, fear not, was Jairus and his daughter. You find it multitudes of times in the message. Amen. The prophet speaks of that situation. Let's just read it first in the Bible, then we'll see what the prophet said. Just this part, Luke 8 verse 49. Jairus had broken through so many barriers to come to Jesus. He had overcome himself. He had overcome so many obstacles because he knew, you know, I'm a leader of the synagogue. I'm going to be put out because of this. You know, but because of the desperation, the situation of his daughter being so sick, he came to Jesus. And he brought his need and he put his need to Jesus. And then he was walking with Jesus. That's the key. He was walking with Jesus. Luke 8 verse 49. And while he yet spake, Jesus was speaking, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Now, when you're trying to walk in a promise of God, you're walking with Jesus, wanting to see the fulfillment of the promise. Because Jesus had already told him, I'll come with you. You'll see the glory of God. And he's walking. You can't expect the devil to be silent. Amen. And now here comes the unbelief now. Wants to come right while you're walking with the Lord. Here comes something to try to pour water on your faith. To try to discourage you on the way to the promise. And here comes the man. And I'm sure the moment Jairus saw the man coming, he knew it. And his heart went down. And you know, the fear rose up naturally as a man say, I hope he's not going to say something about my daughter. And then the man comes and says, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. But watch the reaction of Jesus. Amen. He's not going to leave it like that. Amen. When the devil's going to attack, Jesus is going to counterattack. Amen. When the devil's going to try to get your faith down, just give Jesus an opportunity. Amen. And he's going to speak to that situation as well. Amen. And as soon as he came and told him, your daughter's dead. Look verse 50. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him. Straight away he spoke to Jairus saying, fear not. Amen. You see the first thing that he said? The word came to him, said, don't worry. Amen. Everything's under control. Let's just keep going forward. Just keep walking with me. This issue's not finished yet. To you it looks like it's finished, but it's not over. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. Our friends, we need the word continue to speak to us like that. The word to come and drive away that fear. So that faith can continue to express itself. But there's going to be challenges to our faith. Now the devil, he knows. He knows exactly the opportunity. He knows exactly how to come many times. The prophet says, I've said it many times. The prophet says, you watch out on a Monday. How the devil's going to want to come and knock out all the confidence that God put in you on the weekend. Whenever you're getting some momentum, when your faith is moving, when you're saying, I'm going to stand upon this promise. I'm going to challenge this issue inside of my life. I'm going to challenge this issue inside of my family. You've got to expect something to come to discourage. Amen. But if you just get back in the presence of the Lord, you just keep walking with Jesus, he's going to say, don't fear. He's going to speak to your situation once again. And in His word is power, friends. When you just allow Him to say that, when Jesus speaks personally to you and says, fear not. It's very difficult for fear to continue. Because His word is powerful. His word is alive and active. It's a living force. It's a powerful force. So the prophet, he speaks of this, and I just like the way he explains the different characters here. He says, I can see, this is in the resurrection of Jairus' daughter, 1954. He says, I can see some of his neighbors running out and saying, they wanted him to move out of the neighborhood, Jairus. But he went right on in. He had to go through a lot of obstacles to get to Jesus. And Jesus says, give him place. Why? What's all the screaming and the weeping? Don't do that. The girl's not dead. She's asleep. They said, now, we know he's crazy. We know he's a fanatic now. The man doesn't know what he's talking about. She's dead. We've embalmed her. We've laid her out on the couch, put the flowers around her already. We know she's dead. The prophet says, but Jesus knew better. Amen. Sometimes a situation seems to be dead and buried, friends. Like with Lazarus. It's like the embalming fluid has already been put in the situation. But if you're walking with Jesus, just keep walking. Don't reason it out. Don't try to imagine this, that, and the other. You just let Him keep speaking to you. You just walk hand in hand. Stay close to Him. Stay in His presence. It doesn't matter that Lazarus has been 4 days in the grave. Jesus says, did I not say, if you would believe, you shall see the glory of God? It didn't matter how far that it had gone. The prophet says, it doesn't make any difference what the people said. It's what Jesus said. That made the difference. Doesn't make any difference what mama says. The prophet gets personal here. Doesn't matter what your mama says. What matters is what Jesus says. It doesn't matter what the pastor says. It's what Jesus says. It doesn't matter what Brother Branham says. He says it's what Jesus says. That's what makes the difference. It doesn't matter what the doctor said. It's what Jesus said. That's what makes the difference. So who are we going to listen to? But friends, sometimes you've got to really battle our way through that spirit and get yourself back in His presence so that He can speak to you once again and He can say, fear not, only believe, and you'll see the glory of God. So Jesus put them all out of the house when He got there. You know, that's a pretty good lesson there. Those who wouldn't believe Him got put out. A whole lot like it'll be at the resurrection. Don't you imagine so? He put them out. The only ones that He allowed to go in with Him were those who believed in Him. And the other ones He put out. And He took the ones in who really believed. I can see Jairus stepped over there in the corner and he called his mother. And he said, now mother, act nice. This is him. This is the one the prophets have spoken of. And he told me not to fear. And mother, in my heart, since I've met him, something has happened. And the prophet says, you can't walk with Jesus and something not happen. I can hear mother say, you know what, son? When I looked at him, something happened to me also. Amen. That's it. Only get in contact with him. That's all. Just get in contact with him. Say, why? The others didn't have any needs. These had a need. It's those who had a need that gets in contact with him. And friends, that's the key. Get back in contact with him. There's many other voices. The prophet says there's multitudes of voices. It's the voice of the enemy. But there's the voice of God in the last days. Now you can hear his voice. That makes a difference. I believe him. I've never heard him say more than shalom. And when he entered the house, peace. That's all I've heard him say. But something, peace entered into me. You know, as soon as Jesus was there, the situation was going to change. And friends, don't you love it when he draws near? Now you may be going through whatever you're going through, but just get in contact with him. And he's going to see you in your boat. He's going to see you in Jairus' house, whatever it is. And he's going to come and minister to your needs. And the first thing that he says all the time is, fear not. Don't accept that fear. That's the enemy. The next time he speaks about it is about Paul when he was in the boat. When they got shipwrecked, remember? And that boat had been tossed about in that storm. The Bible says, I think it was 14 days. And all hope was gone. And the prophet says in the message, you now believe. He says, the same Lord Jesus was with Paul out there. Amen. That night on the stormy sea, all hope was gone. Have you ever come to those situations? All hope being gone. That doesn't matter. Just keep going forward. That's the key. All hope was gone. The ship was waterlogged. All hope of being saved was gone. But Paul went down in the galley and started praying. That's what made the difference. And the angel of the Lord came to him and said what? Fear not, Paul. It was natural to fear. Paul knew we're in the permissive will of God here. We shouldn't have taken this boat. The Lord told me and I told the people. It was quite an easy thing for the people to fear. And the people had given up all hope of being saved. And Paul went down, the prophet says, and he prayed through. And the angel of the Lord came down and said, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And God has given all them that sail with you. What is the lesson there? God hadn't finished with Paul yet. It doesn't matter about the storm. Doesn't matter about the conditions. If God hasn't finished with you, it doesn't matter what the devil does. If God hasn't finished his purpose in your life, it doesn't matter what the devil does. The Bible says, what shall separate us from the love of God? What shall powers, principalities, devils, things present, things to come? He says, no, nothing will separate us from the love of God. He's not finished with you, friend. He's not finished with me. He's not finished with us. God is not a poor businessman. The prophet preaches on investments. Why is he going to invest so much of his redemptive resources in your life over a period of years just to lose you in the middle? Just to forsake you and give up on you in the middle because you've made some kind of a mistake? God doesn't act like that. The prophet says, God is not an Indian giver. He doesn't give you something, then take it away. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. He just wants you to learn the lesson, then move on once again. He hasn't changed. But many times we fear. Because you look at, oh, but I let him down there. You know, I never did what I should have done there. It's so easy to do it. And that's how when the angel of the Lord came, the first thing he said to Paul, Paul, don't fear. He drove away his fear, and then he started to address the situation that they were going through. And God always gives a bonus as well. God didn't just say, Paul, you're going to be saved. He says, I've given all of them that are sailing with you. My, that's an abundance, friends. He's able to give abundantly more than we ask or seek. Paul was just praying to say, Lord, can't you help us in this situation? And the Lord came down and said, Paul, my predestinated plan for you is not yet finished, my friend. Don't you fear. And just because of the greatness of my love, not only you, but not one soul is going to be lost. I've given all of them that sail with you. And the prophet says, that little hook-nosed Jew came back out, shaking his hands and hollering, be of good cheer. And in bracket says, right in the midst of the storm. Don't you love those kind of people that are around you when there's a storm? That when you're wondering to say, but hey, I think this is the end. Somebody comes, be of good cheer, saints. He's not finished with us yet. Not one's going to be lost. And you'll say, but how do you know that, Paul? Because the angel of the God that I serve, he sent his angel. And he came and he spoke personally to me. He spoke directly into my situation. That's how I know. Be of good cheer. The prophet says, oh my. Right in the midst of the storm. For the angel of God whose servant I am. Amen. That's the same angel whose servants we are today, friends. Amen. Same pillar of fire. Amen. Same one. He stood by me last night saying, fear not, Paul. And Paul says, and I believe God. It will be just the way it was showed to me. In the vision he saw, the shipwrecked on this seashore. Doesn't mean the situation is always going to be easy. This time God didn't just come and speak and all of a sudden the sea was calm and they didn't have to go through a time of peril. They had to be shipwrecked. But God had said, not one will be lost. Not one will be lost. That was in the vision. No, the next time when you really look at it in the Bible, the one I really like is Israel at the Red Sea. Now they came to a situation, they were in the line of duty. They were the covenant people of God. They were in the Exodus. Yes, they were dunderheads like you and I on a regular basis. No, they said this, they did that. But they came up to the Red Sea. Let's read it first in the Bible, Exodus 14, from verse 12. From verse 13, we'll read it. When they got to the Red Sea, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of God. See, he addressed the issue. Fear not, drive out the fear. Stand still and see the salvation of God, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today. Now where it says Egyptians, there you put whatever it is that you're struggling with. For the Egyptians that you have seen today, you'll see them no more. Oh, friends. But what do you have to do? Don't fear. Stand still and see the salvation of God. And the Egyptians that you have seen today, you'll see them no more. My, that was a great promise, friends. You shall see them again, no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And then the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. When the situations come to make us fear, when the situations come, you know the best thing that you can do? Just keep going forward. That's the best. Don't let anything stop you in your tracks. The moment you find you've taken a blow, the prophet says the key to a good boxer, a good fighter, recover quickly. Just get your breath back and back in line again. Because God is obligated to fight your battles when you're in the line of duty. That's all that a believer has to do. Doesn't mean you have to be perfect. Doesn't mean you have to be smart. You've just got to be obedient. You just got to be walking with Him. You just got to be walking in the light. You've just got to be walking in what is revealed to you. And He's the one who's responsible to take care of the rest. Now in the message, Redemption by Power. This is 1954. The prophet speaks of this. He says, God brought them out. He brought them out of Egypt. And God gave them the pillar of fire to go before them. It was an Exodus. And he says, I think they have the picture here tonight. You know, the photo of the pillar of fire, the same pillar of fire. He says, now they had come out, but notice, blood redemption brought them out of Egypt. Same as us. It was redemption by blood. It was the Passover that delivered them from Egypt. They came out, the blood came and made an atonement for them. They were delivered from Egypt. And now they came down to the Red Sea. The prophet says, blood atonement delivered them from Egypt. But now they had to have something else to take them over. Now they needed God to step in afresh. He had done wonderful things for them down in Egypt. But now they needed a present tense God once again. And is that not why many times He puts us in situations, even when we fear? Situations which challenge us. Because He wants to remain present tense in our experience. He wants to remain the God of now. I am that I am. That's what He wants to be. It says now, they were just beginning to start. And that's when the devil wants to hit you. They had come out, been circumcised, came under the blood. They were on the march. Now they got up to something. They came up to something. They were going along knowing they had passed from death unto life. Knowing they had eternal life. But here they are coming up now. And difficulties began to rise. The prophet says, here comes Pharaoh's army pursuing them to take them. Trouble set in. What does the Bible say? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. You've got to expect troubles on a regular basis as a believer. But God delivers him from them all. The prophet says sickness will come. It'll strike your mortal body. But if it's not yet your time, you'll escape it. Then sickness will come again and the devil will think, I've got him this time. I've got her that time. It'll seem that this time it's bad. God delivers you from it again. And you wonder and say, but hey, how did that work? Because God's not finished with you yet. God's purpose, God's plan will not be defeated. And that's how many other afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers you from them all until it's your time. Then all that affliction's going to do is take you into the presence of God. That's what the prophet said. Just to finish you up in this mortality and take you into the realms of immortality. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The prophet says, so it is today with the true believer. Many times these things have to come. All these troubles begin to rise. But listen, God is our refuge and our strength. A very present help in a time of trouble. Ah, friends, when the prophet was out there in the, wherever it was, when he was in the guide, I can't remember which mountains that it was. But he got lost and he was trying to find Hurricane Mountain. And that verse kept speaking to him. And the prophet was getting scared. He says, I was scared. I was on the Indian death walk. He says, I kept coming back to the same place and the fog had come all the way down. And there was my wife and my little Billy there. He says, all that I love, they were going to perish that night. He says, and I started to panic and I started to say to myself, you are not lost, Billy Branham. He says, but there was something inside of there that told me that I was lost. So what did God do? That voice started to speak to him. And it says, God is a refuge and an help, an ever-present help in a time of trouble. And the prophet says, I continued walking on. I thought, let me go this direction. And the voice kept saying, God is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. He says, and finally, I said, oh Lord, is that you speaking to me? And I got down on my knees and I said, oh Lord, you forgive me, Lord. I thought I was a guide, but I don't know the way. I thought I could get myself out of this situation, but Lord, I'm nothing without you. Says, I deserve to die, O Lord. And the prophet repented. And then the Lord spoke to the winds and a great clearing came in the fog. And the prophet looked straight from there right up to Hurricane Mountain. He said, several miles. He says, God is my guide. An ever-present help in a time of trouble. The prophet says, oh, I hope you see it. Then he says, the 13th verse, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. He says, I love that. After Jesus rose from the dead, his words were constantly, fear not. That's what's the trouble with the church today. Is scared to death you're going to make a failure. He said, no, that's all of us, friends. It's not that you don't believe in the Lord. Not that you don't believe in his promises, but you look at yourself and say, Lord, but I think I'm going to make a failure here. The prophet says, that's what's the matter with the church. You think you're going to make a failure. It says, but how can you fail when you're in Christ? Because he will make all things work together for the good. What are your greatest lessons or your failures? What are the times that he stepped in and showed grace to you? Was it our times of failure? The times we messed it up and we thought it's finished. And then his grace steps in once again. And he says, I'm not finished with you yet. He says, I'm only halfway through the masterpiece. The prophet says, can you imagine an artist painting such a masterpiece, getting halfway through, then throwing it away? He said, it wouldn't make sense. He says, how about God and his workings inside of your life? He says, is he going to invest so much, separate you from your family, separate you from all unbelief, reveal himself to you, bring you into the message of the hour, lead and guide you through the years, guide your footsteps. And then all of a sudden God says, no, that's one failure too many. It's hard to find it in the Bible, friends. It's very hard to find. You'll only find somebody like King Saul, and he still went to paradise. Is that not an amazing thing? King Saul, God shortened his days, took him home. The prophet says it happens many times to the sons and daughters of God. Like Brother Ramsey. He said he was a son, but he refused to be corrected. So God had to shorten his days because he was going to damage his testimony. God had to take him home. But who won in the end? Did the devil win? The devil never won. That's why the prophet says, how can you make a failure when you're in Christ? How can you make a failure when you're in Christ? You can't fail. Because you've got everlasting life. Even if you mess it up in this world, it doesn't matter. You've got eternal life. It doesn't matter. All demons in hell can't shake you. You've got everlasting life. Jesus said so. So don't be scared of failure. And that's one of the great fears that we have to overcome, friends. That to me has been one I've really had to overcome. It's a fear of failure. You don't want to let people down. You don't want to let God down. But God would rather you step out in faith and make a failure than you don't step out at all. Amen. God would far prefer that. You say, where do you get that example from? Matthew chapter 14, verse 25. Let's read it again. Just to show the nature of Christ once again in these kind of situations. Matthew 14, 25. The disciples were out on the sea. And they were fearing because of the storm once again that left Jesus. He went up to pray. Verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. That was the disciples. That was the disciples that Christ had personally called and commissioned. They'd been walking with Christ, but they got into trouble and they cried out for fear. And they totally misunderstood the circumstances. They thought it was the devil, but it was the Lord. They really misunderstood. Verse 27, what did Jesus do? But straight away, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Ah, friends, he always does it. And he always does it to you and I. Whenever we get to the stage, fear wants to come in. Fear of failure. Fear of this. Just get in contact with him. What's the first thing he's going to say? Don't worry about it. Everything's under control. It doesn't matter even if you fall, if you fail. Just get up. Let's keep going on. He never changes his nature, friends. He's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You and I, we get fed up with one another. We say, I don't want him to do that. I don't want her to do that anymore. That's human nature to do that. But charity never fails. Charity doesn't change. If God sets his heart upon somebody, God has set his heart upon them. Nothing's going to change that. No matter what you do in this mortality, it's never going to change God's love for you. Because he loved you before the foundation of the world. He says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. This isn't a love. This is an unconditional love. This isn't a love that's dependent on you and I being perfect. You and I never letting him down. If God is going to love people, never let him down. There's going to be no one for him to love. Because right from the beginning to the end of the Bible, it's full of people like you and me. People that look back and say, but I was really a dummy there. I was really a dunce spiritually there. I was really immature there. But that's all part of the process, friends. That's how we learn. That's how the disciples were learning. So Jesus, he speaks to them saying, be of good cheer. It's me. Don't be afraid. I'm in charge of these circumstances in your life. It's I. Don't be afraid. You see, first he has to drive out the fear. Has to speak to them to get rid of that spirit of fear. Then he can start dealing with the situation in their lives. Now, like Peter, verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now watch, the man's going to make a failure, like you and I. But the good thing about it, he wanted to step out in faith. He wanted to give it a go. He's saying, Lord, if you're doing it, let me try to do it as well. Lord, call me to come to you. And he said, verse 29, come. So the word commissioned him. Jesus said, Peter, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Our friends, is that not like you and I many times? Many times we like that. So what is Jesus going to do? Say, you sink to the bottom, it's your own fault. He's not going to do that. He was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Is it not the best thing to you and I when we start to sink? When we're sinking under temptation, when we're sinking under discouragement, when we're sinking under fear or unbelief, cry out to him, Lord, save me. I'm trying to walk, Lord. I'm trying to follow your word. Lord, save me. If you watch that film, Martin Luther, it's very good, because Martin Luther, when he was trying to overcome all of his fears at first, then he came to the certain abbey, whatever it was, and he had a real good tutor, the man who was put in charge of him, who gave him the Bible for the first time. And Martin Luther was trying to wrestle with the devil in his cell and all those things. And this man said to him, says, Martin, all you need to do is say, I am thine. Save me. Yeah. And Luther tried himself. I rebuke you, Satan, you flesh, and all this. And then finally you hear him in the cell. He lies on the floor. He says, I'm thine. Save me. Amen. And that's when the Lord saved him. And then when he was taken to the great council there at Worms, whatever it was, and there was the emperor and all of the great monarchy was there. And he was a little monk to stand against them. And the first time he stood before them, he got scared. And he said, can you please give me another day before I answer? And then he went and he prayed. And then that whoever his guardian was went and heard Luther praying that night, saying, I'm thine. Save me. And God gave him the courage and God gave him the strength. And he went the next day and stood before the whole of the superpower of the day. Just as a little insignificant nobody, and says, it's not right to your conscience to recant, to go against what you know is truth. Here I stand. I can do no other. So help me, God. And what a testimony that it was. But friends, he had to overcome his fears first. And how did he overcome? And he went, Lord, I belong to you. You're going to have to help me a lot. Lord, I can only go so far in my mortality. I can only go so far in my own strength. Lord, your strength needs to be made perfect in my weakness. And God will step in and help you. And that's why he cried saying, Lord, save me. Verse 31. Now look how it says at the Bible. And immediately. Friends, the man's failing. He's got unbelief. But he's trying his best. And he cries out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus puts out his hand. Amen. How many times has he ministered immediately to you and I? When the devil thinks he's got, I've got this man, Peter, this big mouth this time. He was saying all the things that he said. Jesus only lets it go so far. And when the situation's a crisis, here comes his helping hand immediately. Amen. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hands and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You know, sometimes Jesus was in another world, you know. You and I would have looked and said, but hey, Peter, I really understand why you doubted. It was tough. But Jesus looks at him like he's surprised, right in the midst of the storm, holding him up, saying, Peter, why did you doubt? Where was your faith? Did Jesus give up on him? He took him back to the boat and said, Peter, I hope you've learned from that. Let's push on. That's what it was. Let's push on, Peter. Peter's still going to deny him three times down the way. Third time with a curse. Is Jesus going to give up on him? He's not going to give up on him. That was fear. Peter was fearful for his life. And Jesus says, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired you to sift you like wheat. But I've already prayed for you. Amen. And when you converted, go and strengthen your brethren. Our friends, that's the nature of God. Amen. That's what casts out fear. It's not looking at yourself that casts out fear. It's looking at him. Amen. It's looking at divine love. Amen. Perfect love casts out fear. Amen. It's looking at grace. It's looking at unconditional love. Amen. That we're in an unconditional covenant. This covenant is not based on anything that we can do. This covenant was established at Calvary. And the one who established the covenant on our behalf was Christ. He was our representative, and the covenant was made with him. And anybody who's in Christ is in the covenant. An unconditional covenant. But we as human beings, we keep going back to the conditions. No, but I didn't pray very much last week, and I didn't really read my Bible very much. I should have testified to that person at work, but I allowed the opportunity to pass me by. I think God's grieved with me. Friends, that's just our mortality. Let's just go back to him and be honest about it and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I let you down. Lord, I'm yours. Save me. Pick me up once again and take me forward because I want to serve you, Lord, better the next time. And that's how the prophet, he gets back now to speaking about failure. I'll just go back to that quote when he says, Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of God. That's what he said. Don't fear. The prophet says, the church today is scared to death that you're going to make a failure. How can you fail when you're in Christ? You can't fail. You've got everlasting life. All demons in hell can't shake you. You've got everlasting life. Jesus said so. So don't be scared of failure. You say, well, I'm afraid I'll become a fanatic. I'd rather have a little fanaticism than sit still and do nothing. You might say, but I'm scared if I do this, I'm going to make a mistake. Rather go and do it and make a mistake. Then the second time you do it, you're going to be better equipped to know how to do it even better. But what's the great hindrance many times? Is ourselves. Now you see somebody trying to do something and they make a mistake. And we want to just, as human beings, I remember Brother George saying it when Brother Chestlin said to him that day. Brother George, is there anything wrong wanting to be a minister? And Brother George says, with our old Zimbabwean makeup, he would have pulled out the sword. But he said, hey, no, there's nothing wrong. It's a deep calling to the deep. And now Brother Chestlin's preaching there in South Africa. He's baptized, I don't know how many people. You know, but many times we're the greatest hindrance to one another. Because maybe instead of encouraging somebody in failure, we want to get the pencil eraser and we want to rub them out of the annals, the records of life. The prophet says here, it's told about the Ballard Flower Company. We know the story. How the man came up there to get a job. And they asked him to sign his name and they said, where's your eraser at? And the man says, I don't make any mistakes. And the owner said, I can't use you. Because if you don't make mistakes, you aren't going to do anything. That's right, the prophet says. If you don't make any mistakes, you're doing nothing. Let's go, brother. Be up and going, like Longfellow said. Is that not the best thing to do? Don't wait for people to persuade you to Christ. Don't wait for people to persuade you to do something for the Lord. Don't look around you at circumstances or situations. Do something for the Lord. Don't wait for people to persuade you to Christ. Stand like a man or a lady. Accept Him and walk forward in victory. He says, amen. That's what God wants. Rugged, ready soldiers. Moses said to the people, fear not. That's good. Just march on. Don't get scared about nothing. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, go on. Brother Branham, I can't go much further. Don't worry. Just keep moving on and you'll see the salvation of God. Brother Branham, this, Brother Branham, that, how is it going to be? The doctor just turned me down. Now, the doctor did the best he could do, but God hasn't done His best yet. Is that not wonderful? The doctor's done his best, but God hasn't done His best yet. So just keep moving on. Let God do His best. Stand still. Fear not. And then the Lord says, tell the people, go forward. You'll see the salvation of God. The prophet says, listen to him now. What did the Lord say? Moses said, the Egyptians whom you have seen, you shall see them again no more forever. The Egyptians, the troublemakers. You may say, Brother Branham, if I could just quit smoking, if I could just lay down my drinking, if I could just quit my stealing, quit doing this, that, or the other. Don't worry. Just walk on. God will take care of the rest of it. Don't allow the things even that you're struggling with now to stop you from going forward. Amen. Just leave it in His hands. Say, Lord, I don't understand this aspect of my life. I'm doing my best. It's giving me a hard time. But I'm going to press on. Amen. I'm going to go forward. And then you'll see the salvation of God. You're going to meet Him somewhere in the line of duty. He knows the right time. He knows the right circumstances. He knows how to bring the best out of the situation. You find Israel there when they were at the Red Sea. They must have been saying, God, you need to come now. And God will say, I don't need to come now. I'm going to get the best testimony out of this situation. And then as Pharaoh's army got closer, then they said, but surely, Lord, if you're going to work, you're going to have to do it now. And the Lord was saying, I know when the right time is. I know how to bring the maximum virtue from this situation. And then right when Pharaoh's army was there, then the pillar of fire went and stood between them and the enemies. And then the Lord opens up the Red Sea and Israel's going through the Red Sea. And they get to the other side. Here comes Pharaoh and his chariots. And he has the old people at the back of the line and the people are saying, you better hurry up. There's Pharaoh and his army. Hey, and maybe God allows Pharaoh and his army to get so close until Israel can see the the balls, the white of their eyes, like it says. And the people are saying, God, drown them over there. Don't let them come so close. And the Lord saying, no, I know how to get the best out of a situation. And maybe Pharaoh's chariots were just coming up that bank. And then God said, that's enough. And then the Red Sea went, and your enemies, you'll see them. That's how God does it, friends. He has his timetable. Does he not? Look in your life. Has God not had his own timetable? Should we dictate the timetable to him? No, our commission is go forward. Amen. Just keep going forward. Amen. And you'll see the salvation of God. He'll take care of the situation in his way and in his time. Amen. But if we're going to stop and think about it so much and make our own situations, we're going to get fearful. Amen. We're going to allow unbelief to come. And so the best thing is just lay it aside, give it into his hand, and be busy about the things of the kingdom. Amen. Just be in the line of duty. Amen. David says in Psalm 37 or 27, fret not yourself because of evildoers. He says they'll soon be cut off. He says, but delight in the Lord and do good and you shall be fed. That's the best remedy, friends, when the enemy is against you. Go and do something good for the Lord. Overcome evil with good. Do something good. Be busy. Don't allow those situations to paralyze you. That you put your arms down and say, I'm not going to fight anymore. Hey, the devil's going to give you a hard time, my friend. Amen. And what you're doing, you're forsaking your own mercies. Amen. You're forsaking your own deliverance. The best thing, just gird yourself up. Say, gee, this is tough, but I'm going forward. And see how God will meet you in the line of duty. Hallelujah. At the right time, the right circumstances. He knows exactly when to bring the deliverance. Amen. It's not up to us to be dictating the terms to him. We just need to be listening to the latest order that we had. Amen. And the latest order they had was, go forward. Amen. You'll see the salvation of God. Amen. And that's all that we need to do. The prophet says, don't get scared about nothing. You might say this, but or that, I want to quit smoking. Don't worry. Just walk on. God will take care of the rest of it. If I knew that I could do it, Brother Branham, I'd accept Christ right now. Don't you worry. Move right on. You'll see the salvation of God. For the Egyptians you have seen today, you'll see them no more forever. The prophet says, amen. It's going to be settled after a while. Whatever you and I are going through, friends, if we just keep going forward, it's going to be settled after a while. I don't know exactly when it is. I don't know exactly how. I wish it would be settled now. In my own struggles, my own battles that I go through. But what am I commissioned to do? What are you commissioned to do? Just go forward. It's going to be settled after a while. Just leave it in his hands and let him be the one who does the settling. The Lord shall fight for you. Amen. And you shall hold your peace. Amen. And the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying to me? Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. The prophet says, I like that. Amen. Don't try to say, well, I joined the church 10 years ago, Brother Branham. I've been a good, faithful member. That's fine. I appreciate that. But let's move on tonight. God's moving on. Let's find what he did 10 years ago, but he wants to do something in your life now. That's what the prophet said. Don't always be looking back and saying, I've been so faithful. I did this, I did that, and the other. What about now? What about your battles now? What about the spirit of fear that you need to overcome now? What about sin and temptation and afflictions that you need to overcome now? Fear not. Let's keep moving forward. God will settle it after a while. The prophet says in jelly, he speaks of this in the waters of separation. He says, God looks through the blood. He doesn't see you anymore as a sinner. He's redeemed you. And you're redeemed because he's always seen you through Christ. My. You know, when the situation gets tough, the best thing to do, get in his word. Get in contact with him. Start seeing yourself the way that he sees you. Because it's very discouraging sometimes if you just keep looking in the mirror. Or if you keep looking in past experiences or the mistakes that you've made, your faults and your failings. The best thing, look and see what he says about you. Because he's always seen you through Christ. That's what the prophet says. He says, in the Old Testament, there was no perfection because God was looking through animal blood. But now he looks to the blood of his Son. Perfection came by Jesus Christ. God looks upon you as, listen to what he says. God looks upon you as perfect as Christ himself was. My. That's a good one to chew on for a while, friends. That's a good one to stick on the fridge and meditate on for the week. The Bible actually says that God loves you as much as he loves Christ. My. You can read it in John chapter 17. Jesus says, Father, I know that you've loved them with the same love that you've loved me. My. But for us, we look and say, but surely God loves brother so-and-so did so much for the kingdom. Surely God loves him far more. No. God loves all his children the same. Amen. This agape love. Amen. Just coming to a close. The prophet says, I used to oftentimes wonder, what's the matter with the Christian church? They're so scared of things. He says, why? You've got nothing to be scared about. The first word nearly Jesus said after the resurrection was, fear not. Amen. You see, don't fear. Amen. Don't get scared. Amen. There's nothing going to happen. Nothing can happen. Nothing can bother a Christian. Amen. Not even death itself. Amen. Nothing's going to happen. The battle is just in the mind. God has everything under control. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He says death itself has no reign over a Christian. Christ died in our stead. Amen. What a faith that ought to build in the people, he says. Something that'll toe the mark. He says, you'll never get anything being a little jellyfish Christian. No. A jellyfish. There's no backbone in a jellyfish. He says, don't be a jellyfish Christian. Even when circumstances get tough, pull yourself up, go forward once again. And you know the greatest thing many times you need to do is face your fears. Face up to the giants and you'll find they're not such giants after all. Once you go and face up to the situation. No, but when you keep it to yourself and you're brooding over it all the time, this thing gets so big inside of your life. But when you actually one day get up and say, I've had enough. Like Israel, when David came down and Goliath was there, they had built Goliath into something greater than he ever was. Although he was big, he was a problem. But David came and David says, this enough is enough. This has gone on long enough. It's time that somebody faced this giant. And sometimes in our own lives, you've got to come to that stage as well. So I'm fed up of this. I'm fed up of being in bondage to this. I'm fed up of fearing this. I'm going to face up to this thing. Live or die, I'm facing up to this thing. I don't want to be in bondage to this thing anymore. They say a coward dies 1,000 deaths before the battle. And it's the truth. Better just gird up your loins, get the battle over with. And you'll be surprised that 10,000 will fall at your right hand. 1,000 at your left, but it won't come near you. And you say, this is nothing what I thought that it was going to be. How could I have feared this thing all the time? When you actually go and face up to it, you find it's not that scary, especially if Jesus is in the boat. Because even if you start to fear, he's going to speak to you and say, no, no, Jairus, don't fear. Only believe. He's going to encourage your faith along the way because you're trying to walk together with him. Now, let's look at the final one here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. This is the exact opposite of fear. And this is what Paul says that we have. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. That's confidence, yeah? To enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ. By a new and a living way, which he has consecrated for us. Through the veil, that is to say his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Oh, friends, don't you want to be there? That we can come with boldness before the throne of God. Why? Because we've got a blood atonement. We've got a high priest interceding on our behalf. We've got an invitation. The welcome mat's been put out. And he who has promised is faithful. The prophet says it in the message, Unpardonable Sin. I'll finish with this quote. He says, speaking of the Old Testament, when people would lay their hands upon the sacrifice and the blood would soak their hands and so forth. He says, but oh, once a man puts his hands on the head of Jesus Christ and confesses his sins, feeling the pains and agony of Calvary, what he had to pay to redeem a man from sin. And the Holy Spirit out of the blood of Christ comes cleansing that man. He goes out a new creature, once and for all. He goes out a different person. He goes out with the sin problem settled forever. For by one sacrifice, the scripture says, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And he said the Holy Ghost bears record of the same. That one sacrifice forever, he made his offering, giving his own life. He sits at the right hand of the majesty on high. And we have a high priest sitting in the majesty of God, in the presence of the great creator, making intercessions upon our profession. Therefore, having, therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the most holy. Think of it, the prophet says. No fear. That's the greatest plague there is in the Christian church today, is being afraid. The reason we're afraid, because we're not taught right. It's not settled right in the gospel. Our friends, I think if you and I would really soak ourselves in the word, in the message of the hour, there's very little opportunity. But it's when you get away and we start listening to the wrong things, we start listening to the voice of circumstance, we start listening to the voice of the critic or the unbeliever, we start listening to the voice of the flesh that wants to test us. We start listening to the voice of the accuser. But friends, the voice of the blood speaks better things. This voice of the blood, when it speaks to us, it says, I see you as perfect. Because you're under a perfect atonement. A perfect offering. Then he says in Revelation chapter 1. This is the final fear not in the Bible. Revelation 1 verse 17. And when I saw him, that was Christ after his resurrection, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and the keys of death. Oh, friends, what a one. That he, John typing the bride, and we come before him and he lays his hands on us and says, don't you fear. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I have the keys of hell and death. There's nothing that can happen to you without my permission. And everything that happens to you, it happens for your good. Oh, friends. What a thing that it is that we have. The fear nots. When you get a chance in the week, go through your Bible, look in the concordance to the fear nots. There's so many of them in the Bible. So many of them that when the sons and daughters of God got in a crisis and they didn't know what to do next, the Spirit of God came upon the prophet and said, fear not. Amen. Fear not, friends. It's such a wonderful thing to think about. So let's, as we come to worship, let's fear not. Amen. And if there's a spirit of fear, if there's a dark something overshadowing you, something trying to affect your confidence, when we pray, make war against that thing. Amen. Wage warfare, because God has not given us the spirit of fear. But he's given us the spirit of power and love and a sound mind. God didn't give us that spirit. It's the devil trying to give us that spirit to hold us back from a recognition of who we are in Christ. Who we are to Christ and who we are in Christ. That's what he wants to hold us back to. So if you need to, wage holy warfare. Contend against him. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Let's stand, saints. Let's come to a time of worship before the Lord and then we come to a time of prayer. Fear not. I'll read Isaiah 35 as your musicians come, the one you read in the beginning. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Amen. It's a wonderful thing that the Lord said to his people. Amen. Let's sing that song. Am I a soldier of the cross? A follower of the Lamb? And should I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? When the battle's over, we'll win a crown.
Am I a soldier of the cross? I follow
shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name?
When it's over
and when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown, yes. We shall wear a crown, yes. We shall wear a crown. And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Wear a crown. Shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of for to win the prize and sail through bloody seas. And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. Shall wear a crown, and when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. A wear a crown, wear a crown.
Bright and shining
crown
when it's over,
and when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Amen. I not stand before his mistakes, while world afraid to grace to help me on to go.
When it's over
and when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown, yes. We shall wear a crown.
Oh,
we shall wear a crown. And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem.
Shining
crown
when it's over,
and when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem.
I must fight it. My courage, Lord, I'll pay the toll in the pains of to buy thy word. Oh, and when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown, yes. We shall wear a crown, yes. Oh, we shall wear a crown
when it's over.
And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem.
Let's bow our heads, saints. The song says, when the battle's over. I just want to just remind each of us, the battle's not yet over. The battle will be over on the resurrection morning. That's when the battle will be over. And that's why Jesus says, I'll be with you, even in you, right to the end of the age. Because he knows that he needs to be with us. Whatever your battle that you're going through, battles are won at Calvary. Battles are won at the altar. Battles are won in the prayer closet, friends. Battles are won when you go to Ephesians 6 once again and you put on the whole armor of God. And you take up the sword of the Spirit and you take up the shield of faith. And you gird your loins once again. And you say, yes, surely, Lord, I must fight if I should reign. Increase my courage, Lord. Whatever you need before the Lord, let's come to a time of prayer. Let's wage warfare in heavenly places. Let's stand against the enemy. Let's resist him. The Bible says he shall flee from you. That's all that you've got to do. Submit yourselves to God and resist the devil, and he will flee. Let's all come to a time of prayer. Father, just giving all things into thine hands, Lord Jesus, even upon this day, Lord. Just wanting to wait. It's come to a time of worship, saints. I don't know why Jesus loved me, but I'm sure glad that he did.
Jesus loves me. Oh, I don't know why he came. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. He left his mighty throne in glory. Oh, to bring to us redemption's story. Then he died, but he rose again. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. Don't know why Jesus loves me. Oh, I don't know why he came. His life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? Where would I be if he didn't care? Where would I be if he hadn't sacrificed his life? Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. I don't know why. Don't know why Jesus loves me. Oh, I don't know why he cares. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. Where would I be this morning? Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? Oh, and I.
I be? Where would I be if he didn't care? Where would I be if he hadn't sacrificed his life? Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. I don't know why Jesus loves me. I don't know why, I don't know why he cares. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. He left his mighty throne. Oh, he left his mighty throne in glory to bring to us redemption's story. Then he died, but he rose again. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he. I don't know why, don't know why Jesus died. Oh, I don't know why he cares. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad. So glad he did. Oh, but I'm glad. So glad he did.
Let's sing another one, babe. You have something.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You are more.
Brother Brian, Sister Deirdre in prayer. They're still in Malta. The text yesterday saying they were trying to find if there were any saints there. So I searched, I couldn't find any message churches in Malta. The only thing I found about Malta is that's where Paul had his shipwreck. He was shipwrecked on Malta and the snake bit him and he put it in the fire. That's the only thing I could find about Malta. But keep them in prayer, they're back this week. Let's sing one more. Brother Jobe, did we say your prayer request wrong there? What was the prayer request, bro? Oh, I see. Okay, bro. No, that's fine, bro. I thought maybe I read it in the office there, so I thought maybe I'd got it wrong. Let's keep it in prayer, Brother Jobe. He really was requesting prayer. Keep each other in prayer this week. Friday is youth, and it's questions and answers for youth. So if the youth would like to do their best during the week, let me know if you can with a text or WhatsApp or whatever, whatever way that you can, the questions, or bring them on Friday. I think it's a good thing for our young people to be able to say what's in their hearts as well. Because it's a challenging generation, friends. There's things our young people go through that we didn't have to go through. So may the Lord help us. Please keep it in prayer. And may the Lord bless that meeting as well. Brother Will, could you come and pray for us once we finish this song?
Hard fighting soldiers. Amen.
Amen.
I am a hard fighting soldier. And I'm on the battle line. I am a hard fighting soldier. And I'm on the battlefield. I am a hard fighting soldier. And I'm on the battlefield. I'll keep on bringing souls to Jesus by the service that I give. With my helmet on my head, in my hand a sword and shield. I got a helmet on my head, in my hand a sword and shield. I've got a helmet on my head, in my hand a sword and shield. I'll keep on bringing souls to Jesus by the service that I give. You got a war right, talk right, sing right, pray right while on this battlefield. You got a walk right, talk right, sing right, pray right while on this battlefield. Oh, you got a walk right, talk right, sing right, pray right while on this battlefield. I'll keep on bringing souls to Jesus by the service that I give. I am a hard-fighting soldier and I'm on the battlefield. I am a hard-fighting soldier and I'm on the battlefield. I am a hard-fighting soldier and I'm on this battlefield. I'll keep on bringing souls to Jesus by the service that I give. Walk right, talk right, and sing right, and pray right while on this battlefield. Oh, you gotta walk right, and talk right, and sing right, and pray right while on this battlefield. You got to walk right, and talk right, and sing right, and pray right while on this battlefield. I keep on bringing souls to Jesus by the service that I give.
Lord Jesus, we are thank you this afternoon, Lord. We are so thankful, Lord, Father, for indeed you are a loving God. Father, going through the Bible this morning, Lord, how you have shown us, Lord, how the enemy comes in to give us fear, Lord, something that you never wanted us to have. But Father, this afternoon you have come once again, Lord, and exposed the enemy, how he's tried to get into our hearts again. Father, to give us a spirit of bondage. Amen. We are so thankful, Lord, that you have set us free once again.
Yes, Lord.
Free, Lord, not to fear, to try to save you, Lord. Father, oh God, you have set us free. Amen. That we may step out once again.
Yes, Lord.
And do thy work, oh God. Amen. I pray for every brother, every sister.
Yes, Lord.
That has heard this message today, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh God, that they would cast out this fear, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And take up, Lord, Father, thy word and go out there and do something for you, Lord.
Amen.
Father, for you indeed sent us, Lord, Father, to preach this gospel to Amen. All the world, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, help us, Father, that we may do that which is your will. For it's Please, our Lord. Desire, Lord, O God, not to do our will, but thy will, Lord.
Amen.
And we find it in your word that, Father, we must, Lord, O God, be epistles read of all men.
Amen.
Father, may you give us courage this afternoon, yes, Father, Lord. That we may do this, Father, for it's your will, Lord, to bring the gospel to the dying man of this world.
Yes,
it's your will, Father, to speak to the neighbor. May you help us, Father, that we may do our part, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I pray,
yes,
Father, Lord, even for our brother, sister in South Africa.
Amen.
Lord, I pray you touch, Lord, and
Please,
drive
Lord.
Away this same spirit
Amen.
That has been exposed today,
Amen.
Oh God,
Amen. Yes,
that
Lord.
It trouble or not, Lord, but that
Amen.
You give, Lord,
yes,
the spirit
Father.
Of freedom, Lord,
Hallelujah.
The Holy Guided. Spirit,
yes, Lord,
that
Jesus.
She may take courage and face
Amen.
Life once again.
Amen.
Remembering even our sister, our brother's mother, Lord, brother Oro.
Yes, yes,
Lord,
yes,
oh God, this cancer, Lord,
Amen.
Trying to make her to fear. Lord, but we are not afraid, Lord.
Yes,
for
Lord.
What is cancer before
Amen.
You, Lord?
Yes,
it is nothing,
Lord, anything,
Lord. And we are not afraid because
you,
of it,
Father,
Lord. For your word tells us that we are healed by your stripes,
Amen.
Father. And we
Amen.
Ask it on our behalf, Lord,
yes,
that
Lord.
She may be healed.
Yes,
I
Lord.
Commit, Lord, every brother, every sister, Lord, as we go out from
yes,
here.
Lord,
yes, that Lord. As we would leave this place, the devil would be waiting to give it back to us once
oh,
again.
Lord.
But we refuse it, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Father, this
yes,
whole
Lord,
week we
yes,
want
Lord.
To walk in victory.
Hallelujah.
Lord, the same spirit that's here now, Lord, let
Amen.
It abide with us in our
Hallelujah.
Houses.
Yes,
that
Lord.
Whatever we would do, Lord, and would come back Wednesday night,
yes.
we would pick up from where we left,
Amen.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
That, Father, we may go from glory unto
yes,
glory,
Lord,
Father,
yes, Lord,
praying
yes,
for the youth meeting on Friday.
Amen.
Lord, I Please, pray Lord. For these children.
Amen.
Lord, thou knowest, Lord, what a warfare the devil has been waging against them.
Yes,
but,
Lord.
Father, we are not afraid of that either.
Amen. Amen.
For your word is stronger than anything,
yes,
oh God.
Lord, yes, Lord,
and by
yes,
your
Lord,
grace,
Lord,
I know
Lord,
that we
yes,
will
Lord.
Make it, Lord.
Hallelujah,
and we
Lord.
Are believing it tonight, Father.
Amen.
We ask, Father, that you be with us now. Bless our brother Andrew
Please,
as he
Lord.
Goes back home with the family.
Yes,
may you
Lord.
Watch over them, Lord.
Please,
I pray
Lord.
For our precious brother George.
Amen.
Lord, thou knowest, Lord, the weakness of his heart.
Amen.
But I am not afraid of that either, Lord.
Amen,
I am
Lord.
Believing with my brother
yes,
that
Lord.
You would touch him and defy all the odds.
Yes,
Father,
yes,
in the
Lord,
name
yes,
of
Lord,
Jesus
yes,
Christ,
Lord,
we
yes,
ask
Lord,
these things. May you bless every family, every brother, every sister. Lord,
Amen.
Until we meet again, we just want to say we love you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you for your precious
you,
word.
Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless. Let's finish with that one. Holy words, long preserved, to give us courage in this world. Until we finish the race and we get there, and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us to grow in this world wherever we roam. Ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh, let the ancient words impart.
Ancient
words ever true,
changing me
and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh, let the ancient words impart. Holy words of all things handed down to this age,
came to us through sacrifice.
Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words, Lord, preserve for our walk
ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Ancient
words ever true.
What I ought to be, I'm not. What I want to be, but I know one thing, I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be what God wants me to be. Give me strength as I run this race, to stay on the path no matter what I face. Jesus Christ in my heart, I feel the change growing from the start. Who can bring a clean thing out of the unclean? None but Jesus Christ, calling on the scene. Lord, make me anew. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. But I know one thing, I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be what God wants me to be. I feel in my life it's a two-horse race, the black and the white. Lord, I must keep pace. Lord, I want this race. The choice is yours, the one you feed the most. He who begun a good work in you is faithful to finish. His word is true. Let him in your heart, Lord, have your way. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. But I know one thing, not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be what God wants me to be. I'm changing my life now that Christ is in. A picture of him they can clearly see. More I want to die, I must decrease. Christ must have full reign. For you I live and I'll only serve. I'll give you me, Lord, you really deserve. Your elect we are, quelled long before time. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. But I know one thing, I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be God wants me to be. For I want to be God wants me to be.